The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Today on Ring of Truth with Pastor Dan Sexton.
You shall not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do according to their works. Remember he said, don't even mention their names, don't learn anything about them. But you shall utterly overthrow them and completely break down their sacred pillars. Back in Genesis chapter 15, when God was speaking to Abraham, he said that the fullness of the wickedness of the Amorites was not yet complete. God measures time morally.
Why has mankind from past to present routinely gone against what God commands of us? Today, Pastor Dan will highlight the Lord's expectations of the Israelites as they acquired land. So much of our walk with the Lord simply comes down to trusting and obeying Him. No matter what enticing alternatives we come across or what may seem best, God's ways are always best. Are you quick to trust and obey the Lord in your life? He wants to guide you in the manner that is perfect and true. Now here's Pastor Dan in the book of Exodus, chapter 23, for today's edition of Ring of Truth.
Don't come before the Lord, don't come to church empty. Come prayed up and filled up with the Holy Spirit, just ready to give, ready to give out, ready to give worship, ready to give thanksgiving to the Lord, ready to give praise, ready to serve others, ready to minister to others. What can I give? What can I do? Not what can I get, but what can I do? What can I give? How can I serve? How can I? Jesus said, I did not come to be served, but to serve. And that's the attitude we should have whenever we come before the Lord, whether it's in prayer, at home, or you go to a Bible study, or you come here to church on Thursday nights, Sunday nights. Man, I'm prayed up, I'm filled up, and I'm ready to just give out. Give you my praise, my worship, my adoration. Ready to minister to others, serve others. Always giving. Again, verse 17, three times in the year, all your males shall appear before the Lord God. So all the males in the land of Israel, they shall all come these three times a year, close down the business and head to Jerusalem for these different feasts. You shall not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leavened bread. Leaven is a symbol of what? Sin. Nor shall the fat of my sacrifice remain until morning. Don't neglect the sacrifice or just take it for granted. The first of the first fruits of your land you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God. Give God your best, not your leftovers, your first fruits, not your last fruits. You know, giving the first fruits in an agrarian society, that required faith. Because at that point, that's all you have. You've just got the first of the harvest, and you're going to give that now to the Lord, and you're trusting that He's going to provide more fruits for you to harvest and for you to live off of. And so it really required faith to give your first fruits. And then he goes on in verse 19, you shall not boil a young goat in its mother's milk. Don't you love that verse? It's like, what, you know, why did he drop that in there? Now, if you're taking notes, this one verse, this half a verse at the end of verse 19, this is where all of the kosher laws of Judaism come from. From this one verse, there are volumes written on this one verse. So if they're serving meat, for example, you can't get cream for your coffee. This cream is dairy, and so they'll serve you a non-dairy creamer or a powder creamer. And you don't really realize how much you enjoy dairy with meat until you're not allowed to have it. You can't wait to get back to the airport in the United States and get a cheeseburger at McDonald's. And the reason they have this is because with this one command here, the thinking would be, if you have dairy with the meat, if you have cream in your coffee while you're also eating a steak, you don't know for sure, but that dairy may be from the mother of the steak you're eating. And when you consume both of them together, then they get into your stomach together, and as your body is digesting the dairy and the meat, it's almost like you're boiling the meat and it's mother's milk, and there's the possibility that milk may have come from the mother of the meat that you're eating. And so just to avoid that, they don't serve dairy with meat, nor will they serve dairy with chicken. You all have had chicken milk, right? Chickens don't make milk. As far as I know, they don't. But you can't have dairy with chicken either. I don't know where they get that one from. But it's a rule. And they base it on this verse right here in verse 19. You shall not boil a young goat and its mother's milk. Now, this is not really a dietary prohibition. We're going to have those later on in the book of Leviticus. Those are going to come. But that's not what he's talking about here. Here he's talking about bringing in the harvest and your crops and these three feasts that are based on the agrarian, you know, calendar of when you're bringing in your first fruits and the end gathering at the end of the season. This is all about farming here. And the reason that God put this prohibition in his law here at this point is because they're going into the land of Canaan. And in the land of Canaan, the Canaanites, the pagan Canaanites, would boil a baby goat in its mother's milk as part of their idolatrous worship. And then they would take that milk and they would sprinkle it on their fields, on their crops, as a sacrifice to their god Baal. And they believed that God, their god Baal, would cause their crops to prosper because of this sacrifice that they would make, where they would boil a baby goat in its mother's milk. And what God is saying here is you're not to look to the practices of the heathens. You're not to look to their ways. That's not how you're going to prosper. You're going to look to me only, and you're going to trust me by faith. You're not going to use these things that the heathens use that they think prosper them. You're just going to look to me, and I will make your crops grow. As long as you're faithful to me, I'll bless you. And you're going to learn to depend upon me. You're not going to use these pagan methods. That's what he's getting at here. And so verse 20, behold, I send an angel before you to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place which I have prepared. What a wonderful verse that is. Beware of him and obey his voice. Do not provoke him, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. Now, look back at verse 20, possibly in your Bible, your translation, the word angel is capitalized. The him and his and he is capitalized in these two verses. This is the angel of the Lord. This is the pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. Before he's born as a baby in Bethlehem, he appeared at different times in the Old Testament. This is what is called a Christophany or a theophany, when Jesus Christ appears in the Old Testament. Notice this angel of the Lord has the power to pardon transgressions, something only God can do. Only God can forgive sins. Notice also, God says, the Lord says, my name is in him, and they are to obey his voice, this angel, this pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ. He will keep you in the way you're supposed to go. He will bring you into the land that I have prepared for you as you follow him and obey him and walk in his ways. This is all pointing to the deity of Jesus Christ. We see this angel of the Lord appear, Jesus appear elsewhere in the Old Testament. For example, in Genesis chapter 32, verse 30, Jacob wrestles with a man, it says. He wrestles with him all night. And then after their big wrestling match, Jacob says, I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Who is the man he was wrestling with? That is God. It's Jesus Christ. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 2, an angel of the Lord appeared, or the angel of the Lord appeared to Moses in the burning bush and called to Moses from the burning bush. Told him to take his shoes off because he's on holy ground. You're in the presence of God. In Joshua chapter 5, after the children of Israel enter the promised land, there's the captain of the Lord's army. Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. Some of you remember this from the VeggieTales movie. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? And he said to him, no. I love that answer. Are you this or that? No. But as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and he worshiped. And he said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take your sandals off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. And Joshua did so. This commander of the Lord's army says the same thing to Joshua that the Lord said to Moses in the burning bush. They're one and the same. In Judges chapter 13, this is just a few examples. Judges chapter 13, the angel of the Lord appeared to the parents of Samson. And then in Judges chapter 13, verse 22, Samson's father says, we've seen God, and now we're going to die. And his wife says, I think if God wanted to kill you, he would have done it by now. I don't think we're going to die. But he says, we've seen God, this angel of the Lord. So this angel of the Lord here, it is a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ. And it's Jesus who is leading the children of Israel through the wilderness. It's the angel of the Lord that we saw earlier in Exodus that was leading the children of Israel out of Egypt to the Red Sea. And then remember, he went behind the camp. The pillar went behind the camp and blocked the Egyptian army. That was the angel of the Lord also.
Pastor Dan will share the second half of today's message in just a moment. But first, he'd like to take a moment to tell you how you can receive prayer for your needs.
Do you need prayer today? Every week we receive prayer requests from our listeners. If you need prayer for anything at all, we would like to pray for you right now. You can share your prayer requests with us through our website, calvaryec.com. Again, that's calvaryec.com, or through our church app, or by calling us at 410-491-4592. And can I ask you to pray for us as well? Pray for the Ring of Truth radio ministry as we bring the Word of God to those who need it.
Thanks, Pastor Dan, and thank you for praying. Now, let's finish today's message.
Look at verse 22, and we're almost finished here. But if you indeed obey His voice and do all that I speak, notice, God just switched to the first person. He was talking about this angel of the Lord and what you're supposed to do and obey His voice and what He's going to do for you. And now, in the middle of a sentence, God switches to the first person. And do all that I speak. He just said, if you do all that He speaks, all if you obey His voice. Now God switches to the first person. And then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. For my angel will go before you and bring you into the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites and the Flashlights and the Mosquito Bites, all of them. Now he goes back to the first person, and I will cut them off. You shall not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do according to their works. Remember he said, don't even mention their names. Don't learn anything about them. But you shall utterly overthrow them and completely break down their sacred pillars. Back in Genesis chapter 15, when God was speaking to Abraham, he said that the time, the fullness of the wickedness of the Amorites was not yet complete. God measures time morally. He judges nations morally. And they were coming to the end of time for them. They were coming to the time of judgment. Their wickedness was almost complete, almost full. And now God's going to use Israel to bring judgment upon them because of their wickedness. I mean, they were sacrificing their children. They were involved in all kinds of perversity. Verse 25. And so you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water. I will take sickness away from your midst. No one shall suffer miscarriage or be barren in your land. I will fulfill the number of your days. I will send my fear before you. I will cause confusion among all the people to whom you come, and I will make all your enemies turn their backs to you. What a promise here. And the key here to Israel's victory, you know, how are they going to conquer this land? The promised land. The key to their victory will not be in their military strength or their military skill or their might. It will be the presence of the angel of the Lord going before them and with them. And they will have victory if they obey the angel of the Lord. And the Lord will fight for them. And the Lord will deliver the land to them and give them the promised land as long as they obey him. And so too with us. The promised land, it is not a picture of heaven. There are giants in the land. There are walled cities in the land. There are strongholds in the land. There are battles to fight in the land. That is not heaven. The promised land is a picture of the spirit-filled life. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. It's a land that has basketball-sized grapes that take two men to carry a bunch of them. It is the fruitful life in Christ. It is the spirit-filled life that Jesus Christ brings us into. As we abide in him and obey him, and we walk in the Spirit, and the promise is if we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And it's Jesus Christ who brings us into this life of fruitfulness, this life of abundance, this life of blessing in him, this victorious life where he defeats the giants in your life. He tears down the strongholds in your life. You don't do it in your own might. It's not by might. It's not by power. It's by the Spirit. He does it for you. As you abide in him and you walk in his ways and you obey him, he will bring you into this full life in the Spirit. And so he goes on here in verse 28. And I will send hornets before you, which shall drive out the Hivites and the Canaanites and the Hittites from before you. God will even use hornets to drive out our enemies. His ways are not our ways, right? I would have never thought of hornets or using hornets. That just didn't occur to me to ever try that. He doesn't do things the way that we would do things. He doesn't use methods that we would necessarily use or dream of even using or even knowing that's an option. Look at what he says in verse 29. Please tune in. Listen. I will not drive them out from before you in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. Look at verse 30, please. Little by little, I will drive them out from you until you have increased and you inherit the land. How come God hasn't just delivered me from all of my struggles with my flesh? Why can't he just like snap his fingers and I don't have any more struggles with my flesh? No more temptation to sin. No more carnality. Why is there this daily battle that I've got going on where I've got to crucify my flesh every day and take up my cross daily? Because you couldn't handle it. The moment you got saved, he took away all of your struggles, all of the dealing with your flesh. No, that's not how he does it. He says, I'm not going to do it in 1 year. I'm going to do it little by little in your life. I'm going to drive out these things, your sin, your struggles, your flesh, these giants, these strongholds. I'm going to do it little by little over time. You know, one of the reasons why he does this, one of the reasons why he does it in my life, I suspect probably in your life too, because he knows that if on the day that I was saved, he drove out all these things, he tore down all the strongholds of my life and all the giants and all the struggles and all the battles, he'd never hear from me again. See in heaven in 50 years, you know? Thanks. And the reason why he does it little by little is because it keeps us on a short leash. It keeps us coming back every day. And multiple times throughout the day. And that's why he does it. So there's a relationship there. So that you and I have to constantly cast our cares upon him. It keeps us coming back. It keeps us depending upon him and relying upon him and praying and coming back and surrendering afresh to him and asking for a fresh filling and repenting and confessing our sins and asking him to cleanse us and to forgive us again. And all of that, it's the relationship. It's the relationship, because he knows us so well. And so he does it little by little. What does the Bible say? He that began the good work in you, he will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. He's going to keep doing this little by little in your life and in my life until you go to be with the Lord. Or I go to be with the Lord. That's just how he does it. So that there's this daily dependence upon him, this daily walk with him. And I will set your bounds, verse 31, from the Red Sea to the sea, Philistia, that would be the Mediterranean Sea that the Philistines lived on. And from the desert, that would be the Negev desert in the south of Israel, to the river, that would be the Euphrates River, way up in the north, way up near like Iraq. Israel has never possessed that much land. And they have a fraction of that land now. For I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and you shall drive them out before you as long as you obey me. You shall make no covenants with them, nor with their gods. Now, when we get to Joshua, I think it's Joshua chapter 9, we're not going to get very far into Joshua. They're going to come into the land, and they're immediately going to make a covenant with the Gibeonites. And disobedience to what God says right here. You shall make no covenants with them, nor with their gods. They shall not dwell in your land. They're going to fail at this. Spoiler alert. If you haven't read the Old Testament, they're going to fail. Lest they make you sin against me. For if you serve their gods, it will surely be a snare to you. Here God says, this is why I don't want you learning about their gods or talking about their gods, because it's going to be a snare to you. It's going to be a trap. In the New Testament, we have the parallel warning, do not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever, because it's a trap. It'll be a snare for you. You're not going to bring them up. They're going to bring you down. And so Israel was not to yoke herself with the unbelieving nations. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the work that you're doing in each of our lives, little by little, day by day. As we walk with you and rely upon you and depend upon you by your Spirit, Lord, we thank you for it. Lord, we thank you for your patience with us and your daily care for us and your daily leading. We thank you for your Spirit that empowers us. We thank you for your word that is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And Lord, we just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
He asked me how I know, and I say it rings truer than the finest crystal.
Ring of Truth just brought you another great verse-by-verse teaching with Pastor Dan Sexton. Aren't you glad you stuck around to listen? We trust today's words touched your life in a very real and personal way. Pastor Dan has been staying in the book of Exodus with its stories of redemption and so much more. You don't want to miss a single episode. And if by chance you already have, just go to calvaryec.com to catch up. While you're there, check out our app to get other messages. Follow us on Facebook and iTunes too. If you don't know that much about us or what we believe, make sure to visit the About tab. It will fill you in on what we're all about here. Are you in the Maryland area? Come visit us either Sunday morning or Thursday evening. Times can be found at calvaryec.com, so make sure to go there now. Meeting you face-to-face would be such a privilege. Our time with you has come to an end today, and so for now we say goodbye. But before we go, would you give us a call at 410-491-4592 and let us know how this program spoke to you today? Again, that's 410-491-4592. We always appreciate hearing from our listeners. Thank you from Columbia, Maryland, for listening to Ring of Truth.
I see the signs and I recognize the hands that craft and am. Well, I know because I know His voice, and it only takes
General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.